You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Walls, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moxie joke. Well, party gon' help. I haven't seen John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco. How are you? Good, buddy.
I got Tiffany on the phone and she's trying to dial in. I'm giving her instructions on how to dial in.
Okay, well, why don't you give her the instructions and I'll do some shout-outs. How's that?
That's what I was going to say. Thank you.
Okay, good, buddy. Well, hello out there. It's I got to tell you, we're out here in Texas right now, and the BBC is filming us, and I want to give some special shout-outs to some real special people in our lives who've been with us throughout the years and who've helped us throughout the years. I want to give a real special shout-out to Colleen out there in Kansas City, Missouri. You're the bomb, girl. Chick sure knows how to take care of business. Chuck Creel and his family out there in Enterprise, Alabama. You the man. You the man, Chucko. This is, you hear me talk about him all the time, ladies and gentlemen. No matter when we're out there in Alabama, his house is our house. Mi casa, su casa. You guys know what it's all about. Don and Leonard out there in West Virginia. Thanks, my friends. You guys are the best. Jan out there in Georgia, keep up the good work, my friend. Between the work you're doing and all the other sincere and real researchers, we'll bring this to the front, I'm sure. Greg Worthington out there in Georgia, the man that travels more miles than I. Hello, my good friend, my good buddy. Bruce Schuppe, the snake man out here in Paris. Can't wait to see you again here. We're out here, Bruce. Hopefully you'll stop by and the next day. We're leaving on Friday. You're filming us, and we'll be out there in California. Sonny Hughes, Arizona. You guys remember Sonny? He was the karate guy with Elvis Presley. Taught him how to do Elvis, and Elvis how to do karate and kung fu and all that hand-to-hand combat. It was good talking to you today, Sonny. I believe Sonny was the guy that also ran off with Priscilla there for a while. Maybe you guys remember better than me. Hey, K. Riley and Chris out in Arizona, thanks for all your help, good buddy. These guys are work relentless hours without any thanks. They're out there in that brush in that high altitude with chasing down things that are going on that go boom for the night. Leroy Blevins out in Ohio. Haven't heard from you in a long time, Leroy. Like your new website. Keep up the good work. My scientific team, you hear me talk about them each week. Richard, Java Bob, Shannon, they're all under the direction of the mistress, the high poopah, Dr. Melba. Thank you guys so much for the relentless work that you're doing. Ron Roseman, Florida. Ron, you got to stay away from those water moccasins. This guy loves snakes. He'll get in a den of pit vipers and water moccasins. He's fearless. This guy's incredible. Frank Kosovard out there in Arizona. Thanks for all your help, partner. This guy's been out there and has our team at the ready no matter what we need. He's there behind us, stands behind us. Thanks so much, Frank. Kenny Jadlowick down there in Pennsylvania. You heard us talk about him and his wonderful wife, Janine. Keep up that good work. We'll get to the bottom of this, Kenny. We love you. Lee Joyner, Texas. What up, dog? We miss you. You have no idea. You guys need a vocabulary lesson? You call up Lee Joyner. He'll tell you what it's all about. Larry Jenkins out there in Arizona. You heard us talk about it. This will probably be the thing, the evidence that's going to change the way the world thinks about Bigfoot because of this man. You're our brother for life, my man. Thank you for all you've done for us. My girls, the cheerleaders that stand behind us no matter what. Connie up in B.C. calls me all the time. One of the nicest gals you'll ever meet in your life. Joe in Alabama, very sincere. Susan out there in Minnesota. Back a long time with us and Bigfoot. Frankie in Mississippi. Leslie 1 and 2 in Nevada. Becky up in Washington. What more can I say about her that I haven't said? Faye in Texas. And, of course, you know, Gigi out there in PV. The princess herself. These girls, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what, have stand behind myself and my team, stood behind myself and my team, and champion behind what we do, no matter what we ask of them. They come to the front and they help. John Marcosia in New Jersey. Thanks for all your support, my friend. Brent Gilchrist, Glendale, Arizona, bought our DVD, says it's fantastic. The best DVD he's ever seen. Chris Stoge, S-T-O-J, from Durham, North Carolina. Same thing. He just parrots what Brent said. Bought the DVD, seen it, just incredible. Glenn Peters, South Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
bought our DVD. He went crazy. He says, my God, Tom, we saw it the first night three times. An incredible, incredible thing on Bigfoot. The world needs to see it. Steve Cothran, North California. Hello, my brother. Thanks for all your concerns and worries. Steve Dismore, you've heard me talk about him. We've had him on our show, ladies and gentlemen, down there. Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky. Sorry for the loss. We understand he's lost his wife. Our prayers and condolences go out to you, my friend. You know, we love you and we're there for you no matter what. Kudos and salutations to all the people around the world that listen to us each and every Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen. Got a special announcement also to make. This upcoming Sunday, 12 p.m., noon, Pacific Standard Time, that's March 14th. Write it on your calendars now. Don't forget, okay? Next Sunday, March 14th, 2010, 12 noon, Pacific Standard Time. We're doing a special one-half-hour show. The BBC is going to film us while we're doing this show. The BBC is out filming us today, tomorrow, and all throughout the weekend. They're doing a very special show called Mysterious Creatures. And, of course, you know who the headliners are. It's me and my team. Well, we're doing a special radio show on the 14th, 12 noon, a half-hour show. And those who call in on the show, ask any questions or answer any questions that I'm going to be asking, will be in the film. You'll be hearing your voice, ladies and gentlemen, and your name. So we hope to have you all respond on the 14th of March, next Sunday, 12 noon. Look forward to talking to each and every one of you guys, and let me tell you something. I sound a little tired. I am. As usual, things never change. But the cameras keep rolling, our job keeps going, and we keep rolling. We do what we know how to do the best, ladies and gentlemen. We got one hellacious show, and thank you very much, Marco Bill. I say it each and every week, and it's the truth. Where would we be without having you, the maestro? I'm going to call you the Ayatollah of rock and roller. You're the man that makes it all happen, my man.
Well, Tom, I didn't quite get the time to post the Sunday show, but I'll have it posted on the webpage tonight also.
Okay, now let me ask you something here, Marco. Are you sure? I'm getting some feedback. I'm getting some low. I don't know if it's because of us being in the field out here or anything, but are you getting the same?
Well, I'm getting your audio. The audio servers are having problems on our conference line. They're a little garbled and back and forth. And you can tell Blog Talk's audio is scrambled a little bit, too, when you heard the intro music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but can anybody out there, can they hear us? I mean, are we all
garbled?
Yeah,
I can hear you. If I can hear you here, they can hear you there. And
I've
got my monitor on, and I've already went in and checked it. And, yes, I'm listening to it on the listen-only frequency.
Okay. Well, without any further ado, let's get out there on all these. You got a bevy of beauties and friends out there on this show tonight. And let's go out there to Tiffany. Tiffany, you out there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening, dear, and thank you so much for joining us. Now, are you in the Dakotas or are you in Arizona?
Well, I am South Dakota.
Okay. And I understand when I talked to you, you were talking via third company reference about someone else, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, shoot, you got the floor. I yield to you, my darling, and tell my listeners and myself the whole story from the beginning to the end. You have the stage, dear.
Well, it was like, I guess, forwarded to me through the phone. I ended up forwarding it to my sister back in Arizona because, you know, she's really obsessed about this whole Bigfoot, and she was the one that got a hold of me. She was the one that got a hold of the guys, and then slowly I started, you know, doing... I was amazed by it, too, because you can just actually hear him crying and everything. So what I did was I ended up finding out that, you know, being on this show and stuff, I ended up calling around to see, you know, like about four that was sent to me. So I ended up calling a friend of mine from up here. She said it was, I guess, it was reported back in a place called Porcupine in South Dakota. And this one woman, I guess, that lived out there because she lives at the Badlands. Behind her house is the Badlands, and I guess that's where she heard Bigfoot crying or yelling. I don't know how would you call that, but she did, and she recorded it. She recorded it, and then after she was done recording, she ended up forwarding it out once she did that. It ended up coming to me, and that's how, you know, all this started, and I was just amazed to hear what I heard. It was, it's really something. And it kind of did scare me because I did not believe at first that these things existed, but just to know that, you know, that recording was just not too long ago and it was not too far from me. So it was, it's pretty amazing.
Tiffany, let me ask you this. The recording that you heard, is it similar to the ones that you've heard on our shows in the past or what's on our website?
Yeah, because it's like, it's like someone, like a man, like someone yelling, but it's like some kind of weird yelling. It's a yell that you cannot describe, but it's a yelling that you're so aware that you're like, oh my, you wouldn't believe you would hear a recording like that. So, yeah, it's really something. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, each time that we've heard these vocalizations of these creatures, whether it be, chimp sounds, monkey sounds, or human-like sounds, it would give us streaks down our backs, believe me. It was their blood-curdling calls and yells at sometimes also. Now, how did they send this scream over to you? Via the email or what?
Oh, no, by phone. It was a forward by phone that a lady ended up recording on her phone. So when she was done recording... to end up forwarding it to, you know, some so forth and so on, and it made its way to me. So I was just amazed to hear something like that, you know, especially in the state of South Dakota, and knowing that, you know, most of it is flat land, but some places, you know, they have bad lands up here too. But just to know that actual thing, you know, Bigfoot's actually up here, it's just, it's a bit a shocker. And, you know, she ended up recording it, like I said, and she ended up forwarding it. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. We've been up in the Dakotas, and you're right. It's a lot of flat lands, kind of like Nebraska. But at the same point in time, there's a lot of land up there that has been unexplored as far as I'm concerned, just like there's so many different regions across this nation of ours. What I want you to do for me, if you can, Tiffany, is keep your fingers on the pulse and your ears to the ground, and anything going on, please keep us informed. Would you do that?
Well, yes, sir. I sure would do that.
Thank you for spending a few minutes with us and this evening, and taking from your daily routine, and thanks so much for tipping us off on what's going on up there, okay?
No problem.
Be well. God bless you, dear.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tiffany out there telling about the experience of these vocalizations in South Dakota. Without any further ado, we're going to go out there to Texas now. Good friend of ours, Rodney Mixon. Rodney was on our show in the past. We're going to be talking about his experience. Rodney, you out there?
Yes, sir.
How are you, Rodney, this evening?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And by the way, thanks for taking from your evening this evening and joining with us. Why don't you be kind enough to tell our listeners out there around the world about what your experience was all about there, Rodney?
All right. Well, as you probably know, because I've talked to you in private, you know, a couple different times, and I'm down here in Northeast Texas, and just to make a long story short, down there in one of our areas that you frequent, you know, down there in Paris, Pat May, there's another little area down and around there that's they call it Lake Crook down there, and along with some other areas. But a friend and I were out there. We was doing some independent scouting and a little bit of research and documentation, and we went on this back road, one in which we haven't been on before, over there on the outside, on the northwest side of Lake Crook, and we were just standing on the side of the road. The area in which we wanted to go into, they actually had Texas Parks and Wildlife had it locked up at the time. So we parked in front of the gate, a little bitty road, no traffic. Anyway, we were 1:30 in the morning. We were standing there, like I said, we were doing some vocals and a tree knock here and there, and we were getting some responses, probably, I would say, 300 to 400 yards back into the woods. And as we kept calling and doing vocals, we actually heard one get pretty close to us. Actually caught the eye shine off of us, probably about 75 yards north of us, and then from behind us, very obvious, you could definitely hear a bipedal creature running. You know, pretty good distance between the strides, but it was at a pretty full blown run, and I heard it come from a pretty good way, so it was obviously a heavy creature. Wasn't a deer. I mean, been doing it long enough, you can distinguish the difference. And thing come running up, and I mean, it felt like it was going to come right through the tree line and onto the road where we were at. I mean, it was so close. So we, you know, I hit the little LED light and hit the right at the edge of the tree line and then caught its eye shine right there. And I'm guesstimating it was probably, by measuring the tree and everything after it left, it's probably right at about 7 3/4 foot, just right under 8 foot. But it's pretty exhilarating, you know, going to another area. And there's a couple of different new areas in which I've emailed you about, and I will talk to you on a, you know, personal basis about on some areas. You know, I didn't really want to disclose any of that information with, you know, a lot of people I don't know, but I'm sure you'll contact me and we can talk further on that kind of stuff, on where and everything. But anyway, that's pretty much what happened. It you know, it come running right up on me, and I'm sure, you know, if I'd have been expecting that, if I'd have had my, you know, thermal imaging and recording device and everything, I'm pretty sure it could have caught some pretty good footage right there. And, you know, it's just something we actually didn't even plan on staying out till dark or any kind of research. And, we were going to cut off at, you know, right at dark and drive home and, you know, just something told us to, well, let's go check this area out. And we did, and, you know, it was pretty good. Give me another area to do a little research in from time to time. But, there's a lot that goes on down and around that area and along with others. But, you know, that's a pretty good area around that Lake Crook area on the northwest side.
Jack, if I can interrupt you just for a second. You know, that area has never failed us. Pat Mays, Lamar Point, all that area across at the engineering group. And the thing
right.
that blows my mind as we're out there, we're developing new areas like you're talking about, just like Lake Crook and subsidies, these other tributaries that are coming in through the lake. And it just blows my mind to see how these shoot-offs, these runs, where these creatures are traveling when there's less and less population and people coming out there, whether it be hunting or camping or whatever. It's a treasure trove out in these areas, and I'll tell you, all you researchers, you know, we got our start out there, okay? Some of the most definitive stuff, our work that we've ever done and evidence has come from that area. And if you guys ever get around there, you know, you'll see what we're talking about. I mean, it's freaky, it's scary, and you get out there in the nighttime and pitch black, and if there ain't no moonlight out there to assist you, you'll see exactly what I mean. Pretty much, you agree with that, Rodney?
Yeah, yes, I do. And also, them times and the times of year, I mean, you gotta really, when you get to studying things, animals and the way they behave, and you know, it's a lot like anything else. Everything has a pattern, a feeding pattern, and something they do. So if you get good at that, I mean, and, you know, some areas you go to where you've had success before and may not produce at the time, but if you know how to follow these things, which throughout the years I've learned to adapt to what they want to eat, when they want to eat it, you know, what they want to be around, vegetation and so forth and so on, you know, you got to follow them around the area in which that stuff is located. You know, in the springtime, they may be at one side. And like right now, you're going to find everything on the north end, the shallower ends of the lakes. You know, all the fish are starting to spawn. Ducks are, you know, the ducks and birds are starting to migrate to the north ends of these coves and stuff of these lakes because there's, you know, gourds to eat. There's a lot of hydrilla, hyacinths, and stuff to eat on that's, you know, protein and vitamins and so forth and so on. But, you know, all animals will migrate around the area like that. And, you know, you get around the north end of a lake this time of year. I mean, that's the shallowest, you know, the shallowest end of the lake. It warms faster. And that's where, you know, of course, they like to eat fish. And fish move to the northern, you know, the north end of the lake. They start spawning. They actually get right up on the bank where, you know, you don't have to get in the water to catch one. You know, and if they're wanting their fish or, you know, their iron and protein, you know, they've got plenty of it right there. And, you know, you got to learn how to adapt to what these creatures do. And, you know, if you spend enough time in the woods, you know, it's not hard to follow and see if you got fresh evidence, you know, twist breaks, even footprints. And footprints don't really excite me much anymore. I mean, once you see so many, it's, you know, just kind of, yeah, it's neat, you know, and then you go on or you cast it and go on if it's fresh. But there's a lot of other things that interest me. You know, when you start getting eye shine and stuff like that, that means you're getting good enough to actually get in there closer to them, or they're feeling more comfortable with you being there. And you know that it won't be long. I'm confident it won't be long before. You know, I'm not gonna say all these things gonna be brought in real soon, but you know, then again, I don't foresee it being long before the evidence is there. We're very undisputable. At all, because I mean, everybody, including yourself, we get closer and closer each time we go out. You know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, one of us has that just really good picture, really good video, and man, you know, maybe even a creature itself, you know, possibly. So, and I know that's, you know, I know eventually that's what it's going to take, unfortunately, and I don't really want to harm the creature or anything like that, you know, for a way to get it done without causing the creature any harm, where it would be protected, you know, be protected even after captivity. You know, I'd have to have some kind of documentation in writing showing that, hey, we need to, this creature, you know, I don't want it dissected and everything, you know, hey, you can do a lot of studying and checking it out while it's still alive. But anyway, that's what it's going to come down to. And, you know, in these areas that we speak of down there and around Paris and northeast Texas like that, I mean, it's subject to happen at any given time, really. I mean, it's just a, you know, your last trip down there, I heard the things there, you know, reading your board and everything on a lot of stuff that you had happen and the papers. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time when you can get close to one and, you know, had the right, you know, had everything going just the way you wanted it to, you know, you'd have one now. And it's just, like you said, there's a lot of areas down there that's not traffic, you know, a lot of traffic on there. And, you know, like I said, you spend some quality time there and do it right, you know, pay close attention to your evidence collection and everything. I mean, you know, a lot of, they can't dispute that, you know.
You bet. Everybody's
gonna try.
You bet. You know, and I want to thank you for this, you know, because not many people have the insight as you do. You've been there. You've seen these new tributaries, and like you said, and I marvel at what you say when you said, you know, the footprints don't really excite you anymore, and it don't me neither. You know, the hair samples, the footprints, even these pictures that are coming in, whether they're blog swatches or any other type of evidence, I'm beyond that. You know, we'd see them and I'd just walk away, and everybody else, so the newbies and that come out with us, hey boss, well, how come we're not taking plaster Paris casts or anything? Well, knock yourself out, you know. I'm not here to take casts. I'm here to get the creature one way or another and prove to the world that it's there. And I honestly, truly, I champion behind what you say, that if anybody gets one of these creatures, I honestly and truly believe it's going to be around that northeast area of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank you, Rodney, for your work, your due diligence, your loyalty and support to me and my guys. And listen, we're as close as the phone. We'll be back out here, and we're going to be calling upon you and have you join us and show us these new areas also. Without any further ado, though, I want to thank you. I know that you had a lot better places to be tonight, but you took the time to share your time with me and my people around the world, and God bless you for doing that.
Not a problem. And you got my email address when I emailed you the other day, and I know you've been real busy this past week, and you're always busy, but this past week had your hands full. But yeah, if you get a chance to email or call me on the phone at your leisure there, you know, yeah, I've got tons of things to discuss with you that I think you'd find pretty interesting, and that just kind of be between you and I and whoever you allow to know about it. So anyway, feel free to give me a call anytime.
God bless you, and thanks for being with us, and I'll keep it under wraps that anything that you and I have been talking about. Take care of yourself, Rodney.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rodney Mixon. Great guy out there in the Paris, Texas area, northeast, out there in Texas. Here's another true, real Bigfoot researcher. Not one of these armchair quarterbacks. Our advertisement for our DVD, Bigfoot Lives, our award-winning movie. And I got to tell you something, just like Chris Stoge from North Carolina talked about, you heard me at the top of the hour, he says it's the greatest movie he's ever seen, and Glenn Peters in South Williamsport, Pennsylvania, he just parrots the same thing, and Brent Gilchrist of Glendale, Arizona. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, okay? Get it. See it. Because I'll guarantee you, there's some information in that that you will never see with any other Bigfoot researcher. And while we're on the topic of talking about our DVD, our latest release, our unedited version, okay, The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, you've all have heard about it. It was the biggest story in 2008, August of 2008. It was the seventh biggest story that rang around the world. Well, there's stuff there that has never been seen by the world, and questions that everybody had to pose that are answered. The film says it all. The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, ladies and gentlemen. Get it. Let me tell you something. You will be surprised. You will be in awe, and I'll be hearing from you after you see it, because at that point in time, it will answer all your questions. Okay, let's see. Oh, this is going to be a good one, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go out to Kayla. Kayla talks about her experience with her sister. And the thing that I'm going to love hearing about, and I want to hear it firsthand from Kayla, is about that picture that was published without their permission. Kayla, you out there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, dear. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm tired, Kayla, but that's okay. I'm old, so I'm entitled. When you're old, you're entitled to be tired, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Each morning, darling, when I wake up and my eyes open up, I say it's a glorious day because the big guy in the sky gave me another day to get up and heel and toe it down the road and say, it's not time for you yet, so get out there and go do what you know how to do best.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to thank you for that lovely message that you left me. You sparked a lot of enthusiasm in me, just in your voice. And then when Marco told me that he talked to you and we got you tonight, which is an honor to have you, by the way, and told me some of the background, it just freaked me out, made me tickle pink, because you're going to be talking about a guy that I just love to throw darts at. So,
say his name on here?
Oh, you could say anything. This is free radio, man. This is the First Amendment, freedom of speech. You can do whatever you want. But what I want you to do, darling, is this, okay? Is I want you to tell a story, not only to me as it was firsthand, but to my audience around the world. So start from the beginning. Don't leave anything out, because I know it's a good one. Go.
Here's the deal is, I obviously didn't experience this firsthand, or else I don't even know if I would be able to put my words together. But here's a story. Just printed in our local paper. I live in Maine. Just printed in the paper yesterday was right on the front page story about a Bigfoot sighting in Turner, which is, I guess I really didn't say what town it is, but I already did. Anyway, what happened was I actually got the story from a neighbor of the couple who wishes to, you know, conceal their identities, you know, because they don't want to be ridiculed. I mean, do you blame them? I mean, as it is, the media is already all over this, so obviously they don't want to make a spectacle of anything. So the couple driving out of their driveway, going down the road early in the morning, like 8:30 a.m., but plenty of light outside. This is nearly a month ago. This is February 8th. And both the couple see a 6.5-foot approximately tall figure walking right in front of their car. I mean, I'm talking like, whoa, bam, right there. And they describe it as having really dark fur, seemingly matted. And so obviously they're freaked out. They don't even think, you know, oh, let's go, you know, find evidence or, you know, let's go after him, like most people would think, oh, why didn't they, you know, go after them? Obviously, they're scared for their lives because this creature just walked in front of them that they probably never could have fathomed seeing before in their lives. So pretty much for a few days, they keep very quiet about it. They're obviously very freaked out about it. But the male, the husband, who saw the creature, ended up telling his coworker about it, his coworker and his friend that he works with, who he knew to be a very avid Bigfoot believer, so he wanted to share his experience with him, see what he thought about it. And this was just a few days after it happened, and his friend suggests, you know, well, we should go look for prints, you know, because the snow's melting. We should get those prints, you know, get some firm evidence here. So they end up doing that, and they also call in the help of Loren Coleman. I think a lot of people are going to recognize his name. I didn't until I was told about his history. But he's a supposed cryptozoologist. I don't know if I pronounced that right. But so he, you know, is all gung-ho, going to help them. I guess he has a museum locally devoted to mythical creatures and research about it and stuff. So obviously they think he's a reputable person. They express to him, we would like to keep our identity, you know, we want to just keep this, you know, away from the press altogether. We don't even want it, you know, exposed. So they are able to find and photograph prints in the snow, which are about 14 to 16 inches long, they estimate. And also, I got to add this in before I finish it up. Just days before the story came out in the paper, which was last Thursday, it came out yesterday in the paper, two young boys were rabbit hunting about a mile away from where the original sighting was. And they are said to say that they were charged by a tall, hairy creature. And I think that that would support the fact that it's obviously living in that vicinity. It's obviously protective of its territory. It doesn't want anybody coming in and bothering it. They didn't feel like it was going to attack them, but it was charging at them to get it away from the area that they were in. But moving on, so that's even before anything came out in the news yesterday. These kids had nothing to do with it. They knew nothing about it, as only the person that told me the story, herself and her husband, because her husband went and took the pictures with the zoologist, Loren, or whatever his name is. And
by the way, it's called, I just want to help you out there. It's not Loren, it's Lauren Coleman.
Lauren
Coleman, yeah. L-O-R-E-N. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So when the story came out yesterday, the wife who had witnessed the being walking across the car, she's just as shocked as the rest of the community that it's in the paper. You know, she had no idea. She was like, okay, where is this coming from? She calls the lady who I spoke to, who is one of the only people she shared this with, you know, the entire story and everything. And come to find out, it was Loren Coleman who went to the press. And you can tell if you were to read the article, it's pretty much focused on him. It's focused on, you know, just his, you know, the fact that he went out there and researched it. You know, he, you know, has the museum, just kind of, you know, more exposure for him, really, and it really doesn't give much detail as to the actual story behind it. So people are really kind of up in arms about, like, what to think over here. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't think many people, I don't know.
Kayla?
Not real.
Listen to me for a second, okay?
Absolutely.
I think it's about time that Tom Biscardi and his team makes a trek up there to the Northeast. What do you think?
Oh, you absolutely need to. Absolutely.
You know, instead of the rhymes and the reasons and promoting the museum, I think somebody needs to be out there amongst the brush and the snow and find out what's really going on. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? You can stay at my house while you're researching.
You are wonderful, darling. Believe me, that makes me feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this. I thank you for having the courage to coming on our show, number one. Number two, for contacting me personally. And number three, for sharing what you know. And I'd really like if we can do a conference call with the actual people that actually saw the creature. And
yep.
Tell me something about the pictures now. The pictures were published without their permission?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would assume it's without their permission, but I know because, I mean, if they, you know, had told, you know, him that, okay, let me read what it says. Yeah, it says, underneath the picture it says, International Cryptozoology Museum, Portland, Maine. So that's his museum. So he must have, I don't know, must have had the rights to that picture, or I don't know how that was able to be published, but obviously if they didn't want the press knowing about it, they wouldn't have, you know, consented to having them put in there. Maybe what happened is, and again, you'd probably only find this out if you talked to the actual people. You know, maybe what happened is, you know, he said, okay, I'm going to have to take these for evidence and, you know, look into them further or something like that.
You know, I got to tell you this, and it's not in support of anything of one side versus the other. I have spoken to Lauren Coleman. I have been on shows with Lauren Coleman. And out of fairness to him, you and I both don't know the story. And we need to walk the middle of the fence here, unless we really had him on the show to dispute anything. But I know your feelings. Believe me, I parried him in the past. I'm the believer, like you're the believer, that hey, look, you know, you're a Bigfoot researcher. Let's get out in the brush and go find out what this is all about. Again, I thank you for you taking the time and knowing that there's a three-hour time change from the East Coast to the West. And thank you for staying up. And I know the weather isn't the greatest, but if you can get me the other people that actually saw it, I would be indebted to you. And we're going to take you up on your hospitality. We're going to come out to you at your house, okay?
I would love for you to do that because I really think you could get onto something out here.
God love you. Do me a favor. After the show, call Marco Bill and give him your address and everything. And I'm going to send you out a movie tomorrow. Compliments.
Right. From awesome.
Movie
school, okay? Thank you.
God
awesome.
Love you, honey.
Right.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye, dear. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another gal. Another true, true American, Kayla, okay? She had the guts to come forward and talk her mind. Okay? That's my kind of girl, all right? And I thank her from the bottom of my heart what she's done here tonight. And you know what? We're going to go out there and we'll give you the report of what's really happening out there. Wow. It doesn't cease to amaze me. Does it cease to amaze you, Marco?
No, it doesn't. It's amazing.
It is amazing. You know what? I know that we're running into overtime here, but without any further ado, we're going to go up and talk to my brother. Up there in Montana, outside of Browning, up on the reservation, the Blackfeet. Bruce, you're out there? Bruce Schilt.
Hello, I'm here.
My brother, how are you?
I'm terrific, Tom. How are you?
Well, you know, I get exhilarated, and I'll tell you why. I'm feeling a lot better now due to the fact that Marco's got his fingers on the pulse, and he probably... I have to worry about him, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, he likes the juice of the grape a little bit too much at times. So when he's supposed to put in plug A, he puts in plug Z. And I know his vision isn't getting too great because he's up there in age like me, and he forgets where he's at and what he's doing because that wine impairs his brain sometimes. And I listen to his garbling stuff on the radio. I just jest, ladies and gentlemen. Marco is a teetotaler. He doesn't drink any type of libations at all.
Diabetic.
Yeah, he's a diabetic. So I'm just funning with you guys and just joshing because it just I got to take my anger out on somebody. And I mean, who do you do it to? The ones that are closest to you and the ones that you love. Anyhow, Bruce, I'm enamored. I'm crazied up ever since I heard from you. About you and Donna up there on the mountain, what you saw, what you experienced. Without any further ado, tell my audience what you had experienced.
Okay. Remember last week we was saying we wanted to get out, so it was finally good enough to go out to the mountain, and I think it was on, when was it? Saturday we went up. We went up first time, and we didn't see nothing up there. So, well, we did some tree knocking and everything, but it started getting late, so we came back. And the next day, we went up again, and we saw this little black thing on top of the mountain, and... we were watching it, but we didn't. When we had our glasses, no.
Saturday.
Yeah.
The first time we saw it.
Well, the first time we saw it was on Saturday, and we didn't have our glasses. But we went up prepared the next day, and we saw it, and here it was a bear. It was a bear. He was digging a hole in the middle of the snow up there, and I called Jeff Bob, and I was asking him about it, and but I called you too, but you were busy, so we talked a little bit about it, and Jeff Bob told me exactly what it was and what the bear was doing up there, and he said he was going up on the mountain to eat some millers, turn over rocks and eat some millers, because that was their hatching stage or something. And so anyway, I took some pictures and stuff, and when we came back, well, the next day we went out again, and we heard these vocalizations, heard some screaming. It was around the front of the mountain, though. The other one, where the Bigfoots congregate, where they live, is around the mountain, but we couldn't get back there because it started snowing, and we got 4 inches of snow that night, but we have to straddle a kind of a peak with our four-wheeler. And, you know, it's straight down on one side and there's snowbank on the other. It's kind of a dangerous little trip, but we went all the way back, and we went up further than we did last two times. And I got sick up there, but so we had to come out of the mountain, and it's a good thing we, because it snowed. But that was our little trip. But we can't wait to get back up in there as soon as the snow leaves, because I know that's right where, you know, they found the leg, and Hiram Upham found the leg, and a couple guys were picnic up there down the creek there a little ways, and the Bigfoot screamed and chased them out of there. And I got some plaster cast down the creek that comes out of the mountain there. I know they're around there, I just can't. That's where I got the plaster cast when you guys came up to Grandpa's Lake there. And we got those plaster casts, and you took pictures and stuff of them. But oh yeah, we saw a poop, a scat. A scat. It must have been 8 inches long, and it was kind of about maybe 2 inches around, and it had horsehair plumbed through it. But I don't know. That might have been a wolf or something, and we got a picture of that too.
Well, good. Did you send any of these pictures over to Marco?
No. Little Bruce was gone, and we don't know how to use our computer too well, and we can't, you know, do that kind of stuff right now. But Little Bruce is home, so we can try and do that. We said we were, so we'll try and get it done.
Okay, that would be great, Bruce. And you know what? As always, thank you for your true support and dedication and loyalty to me and to the team. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're ever up in Brownie, outside of Brownie, up at the reservation, the Blackfeet Reservation, give Bruce and Donna a call. They're always willing to lend a hand, a hot cup of coffee, even a meal. It's our home away from home. They're just like the Creole family and all these other wonderful families across this wonderful nation. And your true support, loyalty, and dedication means so much to us, Bruce, you and Donna and the kids and all the surrounding friends and family that you guys have out there. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you, Tom. We appreciate this radio station and Marco Bill and Java Bob and the whole Bigfoot crew. We're honored to speak on it.
Well, it's our honor. Believe me, I speak for all of us. And if it wasn't for you and all our other guests, you know, the Tiffanys and the Rodneys and the Kaylas and yourself, there would be no Bigfoot Live radio show. And stay warm until the next time, my brother. I got to get in a few more licks before we get off the air here, okay? God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too. We'll see you later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our brother and our extended family up there in the north, up in Montana, outside of Browning, Bruce Schilt and Donna. Great, great, wonderful people. Let's see, we got, Java Bob, you out there? Alex, you out there?
I'm here, boss.
You've got 5 minutes to do it to it.
Yeah, do it to it through it. As you guys can see, he just woke up. I guess he just come out of that drunken stupor. Well, thank you so much, Marco Bill. I love you, and as I'm throwing daggers at him, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, I do jest. All right. Well, I understand that. First of all, Java Bob, what do you think of this stuff up in Maine?
Oh man, that's exciting, isn't it? You know,
There's
stuff going on all over the country, Tom, and it's just we're just covering the tip of the iceberg here. You know,
yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to tell everybody on the air when we fly back up to Northern California. I was informed today from the BBC because they're filming me. we're going to take a ride up to see you, so keep a couple of hours free. They're going to put you in on the film here, JB. So thought I'd let you know. I'll let you know exactly the schedule on Friday.
Appreciate that. And that's really, you know, Tom, I don't know what's happening in your old age. You were very politically correct with our good friend Lauren Goldman. I'm so proud of you. And now you're actually going to give me a little warning before a TV crew shows up. You're sleeping.
Bobby, I'm tired, man. I'm looking for an R&R, and I'm not talking about a dirt nap, of just getting away for 3 days and throwing away the phones and no TVs, no nothing, no computers, and just kicking it and just say, hey, man, I'm tired. I'm finally coming down to rest just for 72 hours and forget about the world. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's a special half-hour show this Sunday, March 14th, 12 p.m. noon Pacific Standard Time. We're going to have one hellacious show. We're going to have it open lines for everyone to come in and talk. And this is going to be recorded on the BBC in the documentary that they're making. So I suggest each and every one of you people, okay, your voices and your name will be in the movie. So call in, and we'll have a lot to discuss. Alex, I know that you met with some of the associates out there today. Anything new to report?
Tommy AP and I spent the afternoon together, and then I had some chatting with Vic afterwards, and we're planning a trip for, you know, probably as soon as snow's out, of course, as soon as it's melting and we can get in there, but for our the location that Mitch and I and Vic have been working for a few years, and Tom, and we're going to head into that area and see what's going on in there. We're getting some good reports out of every location in Arizona, but we want to get back into this area that Vic seems to think is very hot, and it's right next to the area that Mitch normally checks, so we're going to get into that area.
Fantastic. And by the way, I got your emails, and I parrot your sentiments exactly about a lot of those armchair quarterbacks. You and I both know who we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And your email replies were colorful as always.
That's what it's all about. It's called reality in your face. As Marco Bill states, this is the real deal. Okay, we cut loose and we tell it like it is. And you know what? If it wasn't for people like you, JB, myself, and Marco Bill, and all the others, Jimmy Snell, Rob Price, TJ, and the relentless list that goes on and on and on across this country, this beautiful nation in which we live, we wouldn't have reality. Okay? But that's what it's all about. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Marco Bill, I love you in spite of yourself. And if you want to take a little toot now and then, you go ahead and do it, buddy. But do me a favor. Have it after the show, not before, because those fingers of yours don't operate as strong as they did.
Well, I need to do it with good audio.
Have a toot for me, too, my brother. JB, look forward to seeing you. Same as always, Alex, bring it on home there, good old boy. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints out in Ball Club?
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Jabba Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're brought together, reason for the facts.